and Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants us to know that we have something that makes us different. God wants us to know that we have something that not only makes us different, but makes us make a difference. God has given something to Israel and to us that is saying, you are different. And you have to be different. There is something that God has given, and he wants to make sure that we know we are different. There is something that separates us from the Egyptians. There's something that separates Israel from the Egyptians. There is a reason why God says, I will make a difference between Israel and Egyptians. There is a big difference between a believer and an unbeliever. There's something that makes us different. Amen. If we understand what I'm about to show you, you will be empowered to think differently, to act differently, to expect things differently. Because God himself said, there are things that I do that makes you different from the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For time, you all know this story, so let's just, we'll read that part, we'll read some other part. The Lord in chapter 11 told Moses that. Then in chapter 12, he told Moses, he says, go tell the children of Israel to find lambs which are just the first year, innocent lambs, and they should keep them till the 10th day. They should get them and keep them from the 10th day and then keep it to the 14th day. And then on the 14th day of this month, he says they should kill the lamb and put it on the doorposts and on the head of their doorposts. So he told them to put that blood over those their doors. And he says, I am about to walk through Egypt, and when I walk through, whenever I see the blood, I will pass over you. We are heading towards the feast of Passover, the season of Passover. I want us to understand that Passover is not something we celebrate. It's something that has already been empowered. It's already been enforced. So as we move towards this season, I want us to be prepared and to arm our hearts and ourselves to be able to experience a difference in our lives. So he says, when I pass through Egypt, I will make a difference. And the difference is when I see the blood. Amen? When I see the blood, it doesn't matter who is in that house. All he's saying is the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Whether you're an Egyptian in that house or whether you're an Israel, he says, what makes the difference is the blood. Amen? Hallelujah. The blood. Hallelujah. This morning, if you don't remember anything, I don't like to title messages, but I want to talk about your citizenship. Citizenship. Hallelujah. For the past few weeks that I've had the privilege to stand before you, We've been talking about identity. We've been talking about identity, identity, identity. And the last time I was here, there was a question that we said we all have to answer. And if I ask you this morning that question, I don't know how many of you are in a position to say you already have the answer. How many of you remember the question? Who are you? Amen? And what was the answer? Amen? Amen. You remember we said this spirit asked these people, he asked these sons of Sceva. He says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but what? Who are you? Have you all forgotten that topic already? Okay. So that question, we said, we have to answer that question. Every circumstance, every situation, the world, spiritual world, natural world, everywhere we go, every time we are asked about our identity by the things we go through. Who are you? Amen? And we discuss how without your identity, you cannot access a lot of things. Amen? So this morning, we want to reveal what that identity is. And it's the blood of Jesus. The blood. It's the blood. In the blood is everything. In the blood is your DNA. Everything. So, the Lord told Moses, I want to make a difference. I want to separate what is Egyptian and what is mine. He used the blood of a lamb, an animal, when they were coming out of Egypt to make that difference. You all know the story. Amen? So what happened? As soon as he made that difference in Egypt, they came out. He says a mixed multitude, meaning everyone that was saved through that blood, they came out of Egypt. That day, when they came out, they did not come out empty. God blessed them. God healed them. God prospered them. That blood released favor upon their lives. They were healed. None of them were feeble. They received financial breakthrough, miracle. They received all kinds of things. And as soon as they were coming out, the Lord started working with them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. 50 days from when they came out of that Egypt just was the first Pentecost. What was Exodus 19? Moses was on the mountain. You all know the story. God called him up to the mountain, and the glory of the Lord came on that mountain, the fire and the smoke and all the things, and he received the Ten Commandments. That was on the 50th day. That was on the third month. That was what we call the time the law was given. Pentecost. Amen? So that happened, and the children of Israel established, they experienced God, and God introduced himself to them. And then the Lord said in the same Exodus 19, just for time, he says the reason he brought them out is to make them a kingdom of priests and kings. Amen? Was to make them a kingdom of priests and kings. So right there, God established a nation. Amen? He established a nation, and the mark by which he established that nation was the blood of bulls and goats. So he used the blood to set them apart and says, now that you've come out of Egypt, I'm not just calling you to come out to nothing. I'm calling you into something. I'm calling you to become a nation of priests and kings, a holy people. You will be my people. I will be your God. And he gave them these commandments, which is the standard by which they will live. So he gave Moses these 10 commandments. And then again, in Leviticus, you see all the rules and the rites and all the rituals and everything he gave to them. And so from that moment, God changed the tradition of these people. All the things they were living and doing in Egypt, God gave them a total, not just the Ten Commandments, he gave them a different principle by which they will be governed. And it's all in Leviticus, the laws. And then he spoke to Moses in several places, but the one you know most popularly is in Deuteronomy 28. He told them, he says, if you will diligently obey me and follow me and hearken to my words, he says, I will bless you. I will bless you. Amen? I will make you the head. I will make you this. I'll bless your word. I will be an enemy to you. He's listed all this stuff. Because now he brought them out of Egypt. Now he didn't bring them to nothing. He brought them to something. And then when he brought them to something, he's now telling them what this is. You are a new nation. You are my people. I am your God. I'm going to govern you and I'm going to set standards for you. And this is what we're going to do. He gave them the Sabbaths and all this stuff. And he created a tradition for them. Let me use the word for us to follow where we're going. He gave them what you might call his kingdom constitution. He gave them a standard. He gave them rights and laws. So what are we seeing here? So what has happened is God is saying, I have raised a nation and you are my citizens. Amen? The word citizen in the dictionary is a member of a state or a nation that owes, O-W-E-S, owes allegiance to that nation and lives to enjoy the privileges and the rights of that nation. Amen? So God is saying, you are now my people, I'm your God. These are the standards. If you obey me, these, if you disobey these, but you are my people, and I'm giving you my rights and my laws and my rules, and now you are a different citizenship. And what has made you citizens of my kingdom is the blood of bulls and goats. The blood. So that was a covenant God made with Israel. And you can see how God stood tall for them. God proved himself. God, even in the wilderness, God provided. God fought for them. God brought them into the promise. God did a lot of things for them. Amen? Hallelujah. But we also see, as they backslid and they fell into the things God said they should not do, they lost some of those privileges. They lost the rain in the season. They lost this in their season. And instead, locusts started affecting them. Things started affecting them. And Israel, in different times in their life, like in the days of Jeremiah, in the days of Joel, you can see how they cried about the lack. But here is a promise God gave to them. He says, when you come into your promised land, every 50 years, I will reverse your situation. I will make you start again. I'll forgive your debts. I will set you free. I'll give you back your inheritance. I'll restore you again. And I will make you start afresh again. And I'll bless you so that you enter back into your joy and your inheritance. That's the standard of this. Amen? Of God's nation. So let's read. Let's open to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. For time, we read last time on identity. We read the first scriptures in Ephesians, and we read some part of chapter 2. But let's read here from verse 11. Please, what I'm about to read to you is very important, and this message has two parts, which you will see very soon. Wherefore, remember that you, this is the after Christ has come now, wherefore remember that you, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. You see that? Having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off, are being made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twine one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Fellow citizens with the saints. And of the household of God. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. I also want to read, right while we're still here, let's open to Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Verse 22. But you have come unto Mount Zion. You have come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant, this constitution of heaven, and to the blood of sprinkling his blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. Amen. First of all, in Hebrews, I will just share with you, in Exodus, as they came out of Egypt, after they came out of Egypt during that Passover, 50 days from there, they were at the feet of the mountain. That was kind of a Pentecost. During that time, God established a nation. That's when Israel became a nation. And God told them what that nation is, like I just said. Now, what happened? In this part of Hebrews, we just read what the word of the Lord was saying. It says, they have not come to the mountain that burned with smoke, with tempests, with trumpets, with that. Mountains are synonymous in the Bible to governments. I wouldn't have time to go through all of them. You see where they say the mountains, the seven mountains, these, that is the word, another word in the Bible for strongholds or government. The stronghold of a government or anything that is a stronghold can be referred to as a mountain. The seat. So, he says, you have not come to this mountain which was burning with smoke and this and that, but you have come to this mountain, Zion. So what is he saying? Why did he make that reference? They came out of Egypt with the blood of bulls and goats. And the covenant that they were established in that brought them into a nation called Israel, covenanted with God, was established on Mount Sinai, where God manifested and later told them, build this, and took them from then on. Blood of bulls and gold. And God established a government. And then Moses, and you all know the whole situation. Now, the word of God is saying, you have not come. You know, when they came to that mountain, they saw the mountain smoke. They saw all the things that God did. And from that point, God started working with them. You know, you all know the story. And later, he even built a tabernacle, stayed with them, and took them through different levels of his manifestation. But here is what we're being told here. Amen. He says, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. He's talking about the throne of God. He's describing the God being the judge there, Jesus being the mediator there, and he's talking about this covenant that has brought us into this new nation. Second Peter says, you all remember Second Peter, it says, you're now a holy nation, a peculiar people. Amen? Now, we've been brought to this mountain, and it's describing this mountain, and it says it's Mount Zion, and it's describing all the activities there. It says it's talking about the saints there, and it's talking about all the angels, and it's talking about the throne of God, and it's talking about the Lamb, and everything about this mountain. Amen. So, let's go back again. Mount Sinai, God established a government and gave them laws. And God is the seat of that government with Israel. And he told them exactly they will be the head if they obey him. And that happened. Now, after Jesus came, he became that lamb during the Passover. You all know the story. He became that lamb during the Passover. But this time, it was not bulls and goat. It was the Son of God. It was the blood of the Son of God. He died and paid the ultimate price for sin. And through that blood, in Hebrews, it says, through that blood, he made a way through his flesh for us to come into the Holy of Holies. Meaning, through that blood, God called out a new nation. Amen? Peter described this nation, a peculiar people, a holy. He called her this new nation. And this new nation that he called, now he's telling us it has a headquarters. It has a place. All these things we talk about, heaven, here, the revelation came that that place where God rules from is called Mount Zion. Amen? Now, very interesting. If the blood of bulls and goats can cause them to come out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea, and come right to a place where they can see the glory of God. They can experience the power of God. They can see the majesty of His throne, of His glory in this mountain. And it was burning, it was full of smoke, and they were afraid and they didn't want to see it. They said, Moses should go. Listen to this. In Corinthians, Paul said that that glory, even as it affected Moses, it transformed Moses. He says it was the glory of condemnation, of the law, of the dead. He says, how much more is the glory that supersedes the glory of the Old Testament? Amen? He says, this glory is available and it comes from Mount Zion, and we have access as citizens, fellow citizens with the saints in heaven. We are now citizens of this holy nation, and we have access by one spirit to come to that Mount Zion. And Paul says, as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory. Now, let me ask you, if the people of old were able to cross with the blood of bulls and goats and experience God and walk with God, how much more with the blood of Jesus Christ that has given us access to the throne and the glory of God give us even a greater access? Amen? What is the problem? What is the condition of the church? Why are we struggling with identity? Why are we struggling with this glorious relationship we can have with the throne of God? Why are we so limited? What is the problem? The problem is we are still trying to access this inheritance, this glory, in our righteousness. We don't say it directly. We don't think that's what we're doing. Because if you understand what I'm about to tell you, you will see that subliminally, indirectly, we are working hard to try to be citizens that we already are. God has given us a new constitution, a standard to live by. Coming out of Egypt, He's given us some provisions. And this is His word. And it says in Revelation 12 that we overcome every levels of satanic government, from whether it's a serpent, whether it's a dragon, whether it's a devil, whether it's Satan, every level that Satan manifests his government. He says we overcome by the blood and by the word of our testimony. What is the problem? Why is the church? Why are we where we are? Why are we struggling? Why are we not making a difference? Because we don't know we are different. You cannot make a difference when you are not different. You can only make a difference when you are different. Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You can never change something that you're not changed from. So what is the problem? The problem is faith. Let me quickly use a physical example and then we'll close with a spiritual example here. We fast forward the time by 1 hour. So this one is not fast forwarded yet. So okay. Let's do it this way. America is a nation. America has laws and rules. and have citizens of this nation. And they have things that the privileges and benefits for the citizens of the nation. But then, here is America, and the capital of America is in Washington, D.C., isn't it? It's in Washington, D.C. So we know that the throne, Obama's seat is in D.C., all the ruling governments are in D.C., and that's where every governmental power flows from. Okay? So now, here is another country here called Egypt, or Syria, or Nigeria. Whatever the country is, an American citizen leaves that place, leaves America and comes to this part of the world. Comes to, let's say, Syria. And you're living here in Syria. Even though you are in Syria, you are not a Syrian. There is a difference between you and the Syrians. It is very obvious you are an American, but you're living in Syria. Amen? Now, if you're an American living in Syria, you are an alien there. You are a visitor. You are not going to, that's not your country. That's the country of your birth. That's the country you're connected to. You are a citizen of America, but you're living in Syria. So as you live in Syria, you look different. You think different. You think like an American. You eat American food even in Syria, you know. Everything about America is your DNA. Amen? So let me ask you a question. If you are a citizen of America and you're living in Syria, when you have a problem representing America in Syria as an ambassador or somebody representing America in Syria, if you have a problem, who do you go to? Do you go to the Syrian government to take care of an American problem? Do you go to the Syrian government to solve an American problem? Or do you go to the Syrian government, you know, do you depend on the Syrian government to meet your needs? You are an American. You are an ambassador there. You live in the embassy there. And you work for America. You are an American. You have an American passport because you were born in America. Now you are working in Syria. You are just there temporarily in Syria. You don't depend on Syria. You don't look to Syria. Everything is still, you are directly still connected to America. So the seat of power here in Syria is called American Embassy. Amen? This is American Embassy in Syria. Amen? But the real seat of power is here in Washington, but you have an embassy there. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. Again, in some writings, Paul says, we are aliens in this world. We are strangers in the world because now we are no more strangers to the citizenship of heaven. As long as you are still a citizen of this world, you cannot be a citizen of heaven. Amen? So, if you are having problem in Syria, you call. All you do, you just call from the embassy, you call America. You call Washington. Amen? We see that play out. You call Washington and immediately Washington begins to address the situation there. So if I use that, what makes you a citizen? You were born there. Either born by birth or naturalization or adoption. But because you are born there, you are a citizen. And because you are a citizen, the weight of Washington is directly connected to the embassy there. And connected to your assignment there. You are there to represent the interest and the purposes and the plans of America in Syria. And there's a clear difference in the natural of how you look. The food they even eat, I'm sure, is different. That doesn't mean you don't eat their food. You know, I'm getting somewhere. The food they even eat is different. A lot of the culture of those in the embassy is different from the people there. Amen? So, this is the same allegory, the same illustration that Paul uses, the Bible is using in different places, and he used the word, we are fellow citizens. And he was referring to Mount Zion with the saints that are there. Amen? So, if we are citizens of heaven and we are born to keep the plans and purposes of heaven, now that we are citizens of heaven, how do we live our hearts, our lives on earth here? My brothers and sisters, that's exactly the problem Israel had. Israel was called out to be a nation. They understood their citizenship. They understood their right. They understood their assignment. They understood what they were sent to do. They saw the power of God behind them. They rose up to be above every nation. They were prosperous. They were great. They were powerful. God was behind them. But gradually, this is what happened. The devil started working. And how did he work? He allowed them to begin to transform them into the lifestyle of the nations. And they started changing from who they are to becoming like the other nations. They started worshiping the idols of the nation, eating the food of the nation, doing all the other things of the nation. And gradually, they were, instead of being strangers to the nations, they became part of those nations and became strangers to God. Amen? So this is what happened. As they became strangers to God, the provisions and the things of God became strangers to them. And that's how they lost their power and they were taken captive and the things happened. Amen? Now, after 7 years, God will restore them back, called Jubilee. Amen? God will restore them back, called Jubilee. And begin to give them again the rights of their citizenship. The provisions, the benefits, the power Washington begins to support. Again, they give them the right. Heaven begins to back them up again. And they are back in their position. Prosper, powerful, restored, and happy. That's Israel. Why am I sharing this with you? It's about identity, which we have in the blood of Jesus. The Lord revealed something in the book of Revelations. And when he opened my eyes to understand this a little bit, I was amazed. How many of you have read the book of Revelations? I know it's like a puzzle. In Revelations chapter 12, that is the last chapter, the last book written, Revelations. In chapter 12, he said that there will come a time Satan, he called him, he used the word Satan for time already, he called it Satan, the serpent, the dragon, the devil. He called him by every name that is known. He says he will come furious. But he says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of our testimony. But here's the problem. And we love not our lives unto death. The Lord is saying, there will come a generation like it happened with Israel. That they will forget because of the intimidation of the enemy. And the deception that has taken away the identity. There will come a time when the enemy must have succeeded in stealing their identity in who they are. And once they don't know their identity anymore, the enemy will come furious with intimidation and begin to strike and to rob the world. Let me give you a good example. When it happened in the days of Joseph, we shared it. Joseph was raised up and he ruled on behalf of God. When that generation lost their identity and lost what God called them to do, the enemy took them and made them slaves. We talked about that. Then Moses came again with a fresh identity, left Egypt, stripped of Egyptian identity from the wilderness, came back with a fresh identity of a true Israelite, stripped Pharaoh of his power, put Israel back again. And the process continues. Now, David, a young boy, Israel was being challenged by Goliath. Why didn't this whole army, this whole Israel, they were looking to their strength. They had armors, they had everything, they had power. I said that because I said earlier, if we know how much we're depending on our strength, our faith in the blood is no more there. They were trusting in their strength, in their armor, and this Goliath was just literally rendering them with fear, taunting them, just literally provoking them and intimidating them. You know why? They forgot their identity. They forgot where their strength is. They were looking to their armor, and their armor cannot face the Goliath. A young boy who has spent time in God's presence realized that I am a circumcised, I am a citizen from the lineage of Abraham. There's a covenant over my head. I cannot fight this man in my strength. I can't even use the armor of Saul. I only have this sling. But I know I'm a man of covenant. I am circumcised. I have a citizenship from the loins of Abraham. And based on my citizenship, I know if this enemy is trying to fight me, my whole heaven will back me up. He had a revelation of his citizenship. He had a revelation that if I'm a citizen of God, my battle, God says, is not yours. And that's what David said. You come to me, I come to you in the name of the God. You uncircumcised, I know who you are. You are uncircumcised. You have no citizen. You are of the world. I have the citizenship of heaven. And because of that revelation, not his strength, all the people looking to their strength already hiding. But because of a revelation of the blood, the circumcision, he said, heaven will fight for me. A young boy shattered Goliath. My brothers and sisters, the enemy does not change his tactics, and heaven has never changed his ways. Every time is still the same. When the people have lost their identity, the enemy rises like a flood and sets his own standard and intimidates the body of Christ and intimidates Israel and intimidates the church. And God is looking for a David or a Joseph, looking for an Elijah, somebody who understands he's a citizen with power. It's not by might. It's not by your power. That word power means armies. Is by the Spirit of God. But why would the Spirit of God fight for you? You know your citizenship. You know your citizenship. If you go to Iraq, you're not going to fight. America fights for you. Now, why did I say that? Because it's never changed through history. So this is what the Lord said. He says the generation will come that the enemy will come like a flood. And he says, Satan will come in this whole manifestation of every deceivableness. Thessalonians said that. In wonders, in powers. So in Revelation 12, he described it this way. That serpent, meaning deceiver. That devil, meaning evil. Satan means an adversary. And then he says, dragon. That's the last part is going to manifest himself. And the Bible says, if he manifests in every power that he has, anybody that knows the identity can still defeat him. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's a revelation of your identity. And if your identity has nothing to do with your resume, your identity only has one power behind it, is the blood of the Lamb. Faith in the blood is all you need to defeat every spirit around you. A little child, David, it doesn't matter when you get the revelation. So, what is Jubilee? Jubilee is every 50 years in the life of Israel. But after Christ came, you can have your Jubilee today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the revelation of the Word of God. You can receive Jubilee today. What's Jubilee? You can receive breakthrough in what you're believing God for today. You can receive healing today. You can receive deliverance today. You can come out of darkness into light today. You can receive all the privileges of heaven through the blood of Jesus today. But then, here is another privilege. That happens according to your faith, according to how you receive God. But why am I sharing this? There's another kind of jubilee. And that's dispensational jubilee. What does that mean? It means when God gives jubilee to everybody. It's called corporate. You know, when they came out of Egypt, it was a corporate thing. Everybody was healed. People got money. Everybody was blessed. Everybody came out. But you work out your salvation. When they came out of Babylon, everybody came out. It was not just this person, anybody with their faith. So, all through church history, after the first Pentecost, when Mount Zion became the headquarters of the church, they were born. The church was born on Pentecost. There was such power. Everybody was getting blessed. The Spirit of God was upon every flesh. Things were happening. God was moving. Everybody was getting breakthrough. But then gradually it stopped and stopped. But that did not mean there was not always a remnant getting blessing and breakthrough, because they had a revelation. But the Bible says in the latter days, God again will pour out his Spirit again. Meaning, he will once again bring about a corporate jubilee, a corporate anointing, a corporate breakthrough, a corporate manifestation. It will come to you. It doesn't matter whether you are small or this is, there won't be any big eyes or big ears. It's God just moving. It's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Pouring out his anointing. There will be deliverance. There will be breakthrough. There will be all kinds of things that will happen in a corporate way. And then each of us are responsible to steward, to carry that thing into the rest of our generation. Why did I share that? We're going to pray this morning. I'm going to pray for God to touch you. But let me tell you why I shared that. For a long time, this house has been going through metamorphosis. What is metamorphosis? It's a transformation process that animals or insects go through, especially the butterfly. That's a popular one. But in the church formation, Paul still used the word transformation, transforming of your mind. It's the same word for metamorphosis, meaning God can take a vision from levels to levels. God can take an individual from levels to levels. God can take a church from levels to levels if you're able to design the season. This church, when it became prayer center, has gone through levels of preparation, levels of impact in the city, levels of impact in the region. It has its own levels of different levels of harvest and sufferings and blessings and these and ups and downs and valleys and all has gone through that. Now, it has gone through different levels exactly about this time, this coming season, before we go to Passover and Easter. Exactly on Easter Sunday last year, we launched and we dedicated right in this place prayer center to become Mount Zion Prayer Center. And I shared the reason why. Because I was sharing with you, we're coming into the season of our harvest. We're coming into a tipping point of the destiny of this house. It's we're coming into the harvesting, the season to begin to see another level of expectation of what God has reserved for this house. Amen? And the people of this place. So I shared it and we laid the foundation and we prayed. And I have watched through this whole year the way God has positioned us and prepared us. A lot of things happen in DC and things are happening just put in place. But what we are about to do this next beginning tomorrow, 21 days of prayer. The reason for that is we are about to enter into the manifestations, another level of manifestations of the provisions of Jubilee, of the breakthroughs. Whatever we have seen all these years to this point, there is a shift, there's a tipping point that's about to take place in this season. And this shift requires consistent prayer. It's like somebody in you go to school the first year, you take exams to get to the second year, you take exams to go the last exams, you know, you take the fourth to before you graduate. Amen. So this is like that. We are entering a transition to another level of what God has for you. What God has for your destiny. Because this is a house of destiny. What God has for this house. The level we are about to enter, we have never seen that before. And it's a level that will bring about an acceleration and manifestations of blessings. It will bring about harvest. It will bring about laborers. To bring about provision. Whatever we are going now, I really believe we're going to experience some good things. This is our year to rise and shine. You know, where that level we've been before. The reason I'm saying it is, I have already tasted the promised land. You know, I'm one of those spies. You know, you spend the spies, they eat the fruit and come back. So I'm just telling you, I have eaten some fruit. Amen? So I want to encourage you this season, you to individually, personally believe God for a new level in your life. A new level in your walk with God. Don't stay where you are all these years. These 21 days, believe God to take you to a new place. Where there is a new responsibility, new fruit you can chew, new place of breakthrough, new authority, new empowerment, a graduation to a place you've never been, new place of deliverance, breakthrough, places God has for you. Says we are changed from glory to glory. This season is, I believe, is for the whole body of Christ because it's a spiritual season, but especially for Mount Zion, I want you to believe God for miracles in your life. Believe God for favor. Believe God for jubilee. Believe God to cancel debt. Whatever it is, this season there will be a shift. There will be a shift. But whether you shift, that's your decision. But there will be a definite shift. What Mount Zion will look like in the next 2 months, I don't know. But I know with all my heart it will not look like this. Amen. When I was away this time of prayer, the Lord showed me through a dream, and I saw that what God wants to do in this house is ripe. Amen? It's just ripe. And how he's going to do it, I don't know, but the key is, he says, establish an unceasing prayer and have commitments from people who can But who can just carry this? This just going into a labor room to have another child. Those that will just sustain it for this season, the blessing will be for everybody. But there has to be a level of sustaining volume, at least 21 people. Everybody should be here these 21 days, but it's not possible because of our different responsibilities. But at least, if we have these 21 people will be praying, I want to tell you, my brothers, the word of God is true. We are under the influence of, we're connected to Mount Zion. We are like an embassy. Amen? And God is about to do an unusual thing in this house and for this city. I have seen personally, I don't need to share anything to convince you. I don't want to share too many testimonies. But these few trips have been, I have tasted where this house is going. And we can't go except God does what he's about to do in these 21 days. These 21 days, I'll be sharing with the people some of the things so that you really, really understand why we have to fast and pray these 21 days. But we will never be the same. Amen? This house will never be the same. And this city will not be the same, because what blesses us will bless the city. What blesses us will bless the nation. Amen? Let's stand up together. I want to pray with you. I want us to agree in the name of Jesus that God will empower you with a revelation for daily transformation in your life. You are a citizen of heaven, and you should never lose your identity. Do not lean on your strength. Your strength cannot take you very far. But your citizenship can take you to unbelievable grounds. Amen? So I want to pray that God will impart that to you. And if any of you need prayer, you can just come to the front here. I don't care whether you're sick or whatever it is. You need breakthrough. You need favor. Whatever you are believing God for. After I will do this corporate prayer, you can just come out and I'll just pray with you one-on-one. But today, I just want to declare over your life that you are a peculiar person. You are a holy part of this holy generation, holy nation. You are a citizen of heaven, and the mark of destiny is upon your life. You cannot just live like the world. You cannot conform and build your life and imitate the fallen patterns of this world. You have a better standard to live for. You are the head, and you are not to live beneath this world. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I thank you for the awakening in the hearts of your people of their identity. Father, open our understanding to grasp who we are by reason of the blood of your Son. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will make it so clear that we are of a royal blood. Prince Charles can never deny the bloodline he was born for. He can never think like a normal person. He has to think out of the destiny of that bloodline. Father, awaken our hearts. Awaken faith. Father, don't let us continue to live the way we live and think the way we think. Awaken, oh God. Awaken destinies. We are a royal blood. We are royal. We have the blood of your Son. We are marked as citizens of heaven. We are the sons and daughters of Zion. Our provision, our source, our help is from the Zion, and we look up to the hill from where comes our help. Our help comes only from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In crisis we call unto Zion. In every need our provisions are met, our needs are met according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus, who rules and reigns from man's hands. Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes to see that there is power in the blood. We have authority by the blood above every name and every spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, you know the season that we're entering. You know what you prepared for your children that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered our hearts. This transition now to a new level of our destiny, a new place because of the times and the season. Father, I pray that you will awaken understanding, that you will awaken understanding and urgency, that your people will not miss this moment of blessings, this moment of promotion in their lives just because of a few days of sacrifice. I thank you. In the name of Jesus, they shall rise and shine in Jesus' name. They shall be the head and not the tail. Promotion shall watch over them.